Almighty and eternal Father, Lord, we thank thee that we can assemble together to worship you in spirit and in truth, to be guided by thy word. Survey the situations to which we pass as a household, as a race, as a spiritual center of thy kingdom of church. We pray that you shall grant unto us understanding and cause us to realize the time which we are living in, the lateness of the hour, its pattern in prophecy, the things that shall come to pass. Cause us to recognize our relationship to the pattern of thy purposes, to know who we are and what our destiny is as it relates to thy plan. Grant unto us a faith that is fixed upon thy word and determination stimulated by thy spirit. Lift up thy standards to refuse the powers of darkness, to bind their forces of evil, and to again establish thy standards within our society. As we commit ourselves to thy hand, we say thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then we ask it. Amen. Turn tonight in a subject which has a particular significance to those that are concerned with the future of our nation. This relationship to time and events, especially as it relates to our Christian society. I have noted that a great number of people have cited that this is our last chance in this coming election. I have often heard it said before that we were approaching our last chance. And I have been told various times that unless we took advantage of this last chance, that we were all through. Now, I want to cite to you tonight that we are not operating on chance at all. This is one of the most important values of understanding that can come to the knowledge of the Christian. And that is, the kingdom of God is not predicated upon human weakness. The kingdom of God is not operating out of an area of chance. It is not dependent upon your successful conversion of the world order. It is dependent totally upon the ability of God to accomplish the purposes which he declared he was going to bring to pass. He says, I will do all of my pleasure, and no one's going to stay it. No one's going to hinder it. And that's quite a fortunate thing when we survey the things that have transpired in our own society. For this great nation of ours is a byproduct of long patterns of history and development. For the race of which you are a part is the Adamic race. This Adamic race had a spiritual capacity that existed among no other peoples that were resident on the earth before you arrived. It was the capacity of perceiving and thinking with spiritual guidance the thoughts of God. It was a household that possessed in their spiritual natures and in the capacity to carry forward a progeny that contained this spiritual capacity, a holy seed. And as such, they were the fulfillment of a divine plan in the earth for the establishment of this holy seed in the earth. For the building of his kingdom in the earth out of the peoples that constituted this race, to spiritually energize and grant within these as his household and his sons and his daughters the ability to build such a kingdom. There was no pattern of error in the predictions of God. For he had unveiled to those who were the children of his spirit before the foundation of this earth that when they did serve in the earth and did dwell within it, that they would be overcome in the areas of temptation by the processes of a fallen archangel who had ceased to be an archangel in the heavens and had become a deviating force of evil known as Satan the devil, or the powers of his darkness in the earth, invested in what was once Lucifer and now a fallen angel. There was no question as to the fact that embodied in physical bodies that such a transgression would occur, but the purpose of God was again manifested in the size and strength of his plan. He said by his grace he was going to reestablish his household. He was going to establish again the purity of the seed of his household. He was going to redeem his race from the areas of error. He was going to consummate in himself an atonement for their transgressions. He was going to pour out the quickening consciousness of the element of his own spirit upon them. He was going to give them greater vision than they had ever possessed in earth. And by this process he was going to not only develop his kingdom, but the covenants which he had made with your forefathers, that he was going to make out of the seed of this Adamic house, which he had carried down through the preservation of the race line, through Seth, through the household of Noah, through Shem, through Abraham, through Isaac and Jacob, and on down to your time. that out of this race, the white race, the household of his kingdom, he was going to develop a kingdom. That when he made covenants with your forefathers concerning how they would grow into nations and covenants of nations, and he spake concerning the increase of his kingdom of which there would be no end, he talked about the vast forces of darkness and the powers of evil. He classified the peoples as they properly should be classified that were not of your household and race. He referred to them as a different society, a different type of creation. During the embodiment of God as he walked the earth as the man Christ Jesus, he taught his disciples. He continued to demonstrate the perception of his wisdom and his omniscience concerning those that were around him, the forces that sought to overthrow the structure of God's kingdom, and their ultimate tolerant strategy and design to subordinate the kingdom of the Most High God. So under these instances, the ministry of Christ totally confirms and coordinates the teachings which he gave to the prophets in the Old Testament and the patriarchs of the past. And it also confirmed the great patterns of vision of men he'd called out like Enoch, or the visions which later he was to give the Apostle Paul, or the great pattern of revelation which John the Apostle of the church preceded. In all of these incidents, they talked about his kingdom. Prophets in the Old Testament foresaw areas of development in this race. They foresaw the struggle against the powers of darkness that would try to keep the world under false doctrines, false religions, and false patterns of society. There was an evident discrimination upon the part of God in the selecting of a household which he planted in the earth to accomplish his task. He selected them because of who they were, and he selected them because of the abilities that he had begotten into them, and because of the spiritual capacities he could energize within them. Thus, in this structure, he talked about nations, and in the course of time, we go over a vast area of this to arrive at a point of interesting history. This nation of which you and I are a part is made up of the peoples of God's covenant. Basically, we carry the great symbols of the outstretched wings of the eagle. We carry the great destinies of one of the great houses of God's kingdom, and our Manasseh background is well symbolized in the pattern background of history with which that house has had even ancient history connections with the situations of Central and North America. But we point out to you that here we are, a race of people that migrated out of the areas of Europe where with one least common denominator, Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Nordic, Basque, Lombard, Germanic, we came to this continent and here settled colonies that were later to be moved into a great sovereign society and a great state. These United States were formed out of the white race's vision, inspiration, and divine destiny, shaping and molding and moving them. We came to a new land to fulfill prophecies that God had even declared to David in the days of his coronation when he stood in Jerusalem. And God said, there's another land I'm going to give unto thee and thy people. Not the land you're in, not a land you've dwelt in, but another land. And this land far beyond the waters was the land of your history, a land of freedom, man and friend, in which you would grow into greatness and in power. No question about the fact that Isaiah and Jeremiah caught the vision of divine purpose, and Jeremiah also knew these things. One of the prophecies was that you were to be a great nation, a great land, and that your rulers were to be of yourselves, your judges as aforetime, and so forth. So the pattern of a society that would elect its leadership out of its own midst, whose leaders also would serve the processes of God, a land that would have the voice of thanksgiving within it, and even would be one of the first nations to proclaim a Thanksgiving Day for God and his blessings and his greatness. A nation which was going to thrive and grow and prosper in a land divided by rivers, a land of tall and clean-shaven people, powerful from their beginning from this time onward. The ancient prophecies of the 18th chapter of Revelation of Isaiah was to point out the vastness and the greatness of the society that God ordained, how you would be of special service to the Most High, and how you would be involved in the events of these climactic events of the end of an age. These are all a part of Old Testament prophecies concerning your nation, concerning your race. The Scriptures clearly classified that this great nation was going to be a nation of God's hand and God's building, and this people was going to be given this great land that you now have in this North American continent. A land where, like that of ancient Palestine, the great Gargantua redwood trees would grow, the great cedars of Lebanon, and here, no place else in the world are they like those that you have here in California and in the West Coast, for instance, of your own nation. And the myrtlewood tree, which is existed in Palestine, would also be found in this new land, and nowhere else in the world can you find the myrtlewood tree, except in this great continent. So this nation had specific measure, the pine tree and the box tree growing together in this new land, and there is no nation that has been more blessed than you have, being all of the various types of lumber that come out of the pine, the fir, and all of the evergreen family. God talked about you, a nation to the westward, and probably the last frontier among men because here would be raised one of the great nations of the kingdom. And out of it you have the inherited pattern of the experiences of your forebears. And out of it you have the great determination and vision to establish the highest standard of government that men have ever known. Thus it was in this United States we fulfilled that destiny. When we signed a Declaration of Independence, which document should never have been abridged and provided for no area of abridgment, we signed a declaration of our independence, cutting us off from control of the sovereignty of any power, now or ever, except that of the administration of the Most High God in the climax of His own kingdom. I think this is quite easily recognized today, for this is one nation under God, though every Jew atheist would like to take under God out, and we'd like to take every Jew atheist out. I think we should be as entitled to as much animosity against evil as evil has to express its animosity against good. We point out to you that under the structure of the patterns of destiny, this great nation came into existence, and one of the great documents which was forged by spiritual inspiration and after due consideration and prayer was the Constitution of the United States. Now we hear much today attacking our ancient heritage, smearing the patterns of great leaders of another day. Today the average teacher is not socially acceptable in the teaching of history unless they can downgrade the great, unless they can make the pattern of their contribution questionable as to their intent or purpose. And today they're trying to smirch American history by smear, innuendo, and attack. And what they are teaching today in many of our schools is a sad substitute for history. But I point out to you tonight that we do not have to go over the areas of this phase of error, but we point out to you that this great nation was a fulfillment of prophecy. And we are a part of the great nations of our Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Nordic, Basque, Lombard, and Germanic heritage. And we had better wake up tonight to become not only proud of our family, proud of the household of God, determined to preserve our racial self-respect and meet the challenges of today squarely as we behold it. From the days of our forefathers, there has always been an attempted infiltration into our society. They identified themselves as Hittites, Canaanites, and Amalekites in the past, and the Scripture warned us against assimilating them, warned us against letting them join themselves to our society, and called us to dwell alone. Also directed that in the formation of our society, these people would never gain power over us, never to instruct our children, never to move into the areas of affluence, never to control the economy of our society, never to serve in elected offices in our nation, never, my friends, to be active in the priesthood of the temple of God. Now, someone said, this isn't hospitable. This is the way you preserve a society and a culture, for you are a special people. You're the household of the Most High God. You're His kingdom in the earth. You are bringing to the world, as you have been bringing to the world, the advantages of inspiration and divine guidance into a world of superstition and darkness. You have brought it areas of culture, technological achievement, and you have taught the beginning of its adaptation to an environment in which it must learn, it must know, and it must understand. But I point out to you that it is one thing to be sent in as the household of God to build a kingdom and to carry out the objectives of destiny, and another program to try to absorb the world and try to become but a part of it and thus put out the light and subordinate your society. The great majority of peoples in the Western world do not want to see the white race exterminated. They do not want to see it integrated, absorbed, and wiped out. The great majority of people in the Western world, in their nations, do not want to see pagan powers come in and gain influence and control of their society. But under the instances of our own nation, we have watched many changes. Of course, from the early laying out of our so-called democratic processes in this great republic, we selected by areas of election many of the officers of our society. There was a time, of course, when the officers of our Senate made decisions concerning who was going to handle the affairs of these United States. But, of course, changes have been made in election policies, in the selection of senators, and in the policy of the selection of presidents. There has never been a fully understood pattern by many Americans on how it is done. You are as aware as I am, of course, of the Electoral College and its processes, but you'd be surprised how many people out here don't know they're voting when they cast a vote for the president, for a group of selected and designated representatives who will cast a vote for this president or that man, but they will make a selection. And when you vote for electors, you're not altogether sure who they're going to vote for either, but you vote for these electors. But I point out that under the patterns of election, we have elected the representatives of this nation for many, many years, And eventually, under the working out of the parliamentary procedures, why we have watched the developments in the sovereign individual states, as well as in the legislature of the United States, for the election of congressmen and senators, and for the president of the United States. The weakest area, of course, is the appointment of cabinet officers and in the selection to many appointed jobs, which is left up to the whims of the president, who sometimes is not advised by proper advisors, and you're in trouble. We have, of course, watched the balance in checks and balances so vital to our society in the creation of the three branches of our government. We are aware that the legislators make the laws, the President of the United States is executive over the nation, and the court is the Supreme Court in its judicial capacity is to determine on the constitutionality of laws passed on the content of the Constitution. The delegated authority to each and every area of our government is all considered carefully by the creators of our society, and the Constitution of the United States prescribes the power to each and every branch of government and everybody involved in it, and they have no authority and they have no power outside of that delegated and specified authority, and any taken outside of that is a usurpation of your freedom and is tyranny. So I point out that in the course of the development of our nation, its economic growth and expansion, its migration to the West Coast, its gradual development, all of it is the great success story of one of the greatest nations on the face of the earth. You and I can be justly proud of our forebears, justly proud of their vision, and we can look out over what has been accomplished in America and say that this has been one of the greatest demonstrations on the face of the earth of the guidance, vision, and ingenuity of a people. And we can also say, in the last 35 years, that this has also been the sign of one of the greatest deteriorations of the people retaining in their hands, as God had directed, the authority to govern themselves until he came. That no nation reached this far, and no nation in the areas of administrative authority and its ability to be independent and free has slipped as far as fast as you have. Now, I realize that if you tell the truth today, there are those that would like to silence you. They would very much like to stand you up against the wall in the firing squad, but they don't think the time is ripe as yet. But make no mistake about it, the enemies of Christianity and of America would like to see the day when they can liquidate anybody that seeks to wake the people up from the strange apathy and sleep that descends upon them. We're under no illusions tonight that the powers of darkness would not do this. I point out to you that we have an enemy against Christianity and an enemy against God. It's Lucifer and his household. Unassimilatable descendants of a fallen archangel, described in Jude as the offspring of evil, described in Peter as the same descendants of this evil force. Unassimilatable children, brute beasts, Peter calls them. We have the description of the embodiment of God in the man Christ Jesus, who calls them the progeny of Lucifer. They are of their father the devil, and the lust of their father they would do. That they had no capacity to understand his thoughts, that they fought against the true children of the kingdom. They were usurpers of authority. They invaded every area of society and sought to bring it down. They used vice and evil, immorality and corruption. They used the power of their purse and the violation of economic laws by the control of economy to bring about the results. Jesus denounced them, scourged them off the temple, and then warned his disciples that they were the continued enemies of the kingdom, had been from the beginning, and would continue to be to the end of the age. Now I point out to you that we in this country are watched as we came into being at the end of the time of chastisement or judgment, 2,520 years from the day that the household of Manasseh, one of the nations of God's house under the seven times judgment, went into captivity to the 4th of July, 1776, when this great new nation under that heraldic symbol was born. I point out to you that we enjoyed the responsible areas of precision and perception in that time of the things that were important and how to preserve our independence. And in the vision which God gave us, why we became an independent society, dependent entirely upon spiritual guidance and the contract which we had been inspired to draw up to preserve it. Lots of people say, we don't have anything to worry about today. The Constitution of the United States protects us. The Constitution of the United States does not protect you. It's only as you implement that Constitution with your strength to keep it in power that you are protected and preserved. I point out to you that in this period of time, the history which we have called to your attention was only a backdrop for our nation. How a nation is to continue depends upon the awareness of his people as it relates to their prophet. I want to cite that throughout the course of history, there have been many bitter disputes in America. These disputes have sometimes been classified as political, but they generally were always the result of the unassimilatable force that was seeking to divide your nation, raise up issues that you should not have possessed. The great mistake in this nation was when we let Hyman Solomon and his Jewish slave traders start importing more Negroes into the United States. The slave trade was Jewish-dominated and controlled, and the Muranos, one of their own publications, proved the part they played within this. I have volume after volume in my library that goes into its background. We today have no grief for slavery. Upon the other hand, I'm going to say that it probably was the greatest blessing that ever occurred to the Negro people when they were sold into slavery and came to the Western world. For no Negroes made as much advancement throughout the years as the Negroes that grew up inside of these United States. And they were far better off here in these United States, even under the circumstances over which the struggles and complaints have come, than they were down in their own society, where they were being devoured by one another, or where they were being sold into slavery in Asia by their own rulers. From Ethiopian monarchs to the forces of the East Coast and Gold Coast of Africa, as well as they sold one another into slavery to pagan powers all over the world. And then, of course, they were brought into your country basically by slave traders, and preeminently, if we believe the records of the Jews themselves, they were the first basic slave traders to try to destroy the society of nations by integrating and mongrelizing them according to their own patterns and strategies. I point out to you tonight that we are in a serious circumstance. One of these reasons why our circumstances are so serious is that during the last period of, say, 50 years, we have watched a great transition take place. In fact, from 1909 on, which was a matter of prophetic measure, we have watched the program of world socialism and communism at war with Christian civilization. Make no mistake about it, it is war with Christianity. It liquidated and destroyed Christians inside of the newly created Soviet as quickly as it could. It has put to death more millions of Christians than have died by any other cause throughout many, many years of time in history. I point out that, therefore, within the structure of the problems with which you were faced, that there has been a war of communism against Christianity from the very inception of communism, and there has been a fifth column invasion of Western nations, of revolutionists, who operate out of this area of political program and design. But who's behind it and what was behind it? It's rather easy to see who's been behind communism in this country. If we look at the leading forces that have sought to spread communism in these United States, if we listen to the voices of various leaders concerning their relationship to it, we can well identify how communism spread in America very speedily. And I'm going to cite that preeminently, communism is Jewish, and political Zionism and communism have been spread by organized Jewry in the United States. Not here only, but throughout the world. I have gone through areas of the archives in New Washington, D.C., and I have many, many photostats which came from there. I have whole copies of microfilms of documents that came out of Secret Service files, like those of Captain Schuyler and others who were in American intelligence back at the beginning of the Russian Revolution, and these are now undeclassified. Time has rolled by. They're legal documents for you to possess. Most people never think about them, but we have copies of them. We brought them back from Washington in one of our areas of research and contact there, hunting for facts. And the facts show that this government and the British government knew that communism was Jewish and a part of a world Jewish conspiracy to utilize the areas of Asia and to start with the Russians to conquer the racial forces of the earth and turn them against the white race. Now I point out to you tonight that in the course of our experience, we have been told that elections are the result of a people freely choosing their representatives. We have been told that the people start at the local level inside of their local county districts, and they spread out in through their state party program, and they select their would-be candidates, and they work out the process from a survey made by their experts all over the United States to decide who they're going to have for party leaders. In fact, they finally resolve it down to those who have registered and who have presented themselves before the various states and offered themselves for the position of president. We have been told that the choices then evolve through the primaries and through the conventions that are held as they evaluate the will of the people. And so we emerge with candidates, and we elect men to office, and these men are all dedicated by their oath to preserve these United States from all of its enemies, domestic and foreign, to carry out the program and policies which have, of course, been founded upon the content of the Constitution. Now, you say, this is the way we've been doing it for years. I'm going to tell you that ever since the power of international and economic Babylon gained a stronger foothold in these United States, that the selection of candidates have not been made by the people, they have been made by Babylon. They have not only been made by Mystery Babylon to some extent. You say, well, every man was not their suggestion or their selection. No, there have been times when men were appointed that were not the first selection of the enemy. But the enemy generally did not feel that these men were going to be elected, or if they were elected, they computed how they would economically pull out from under them the areas of success and create such catastrophe around the men that were good that it would be easy with their propaganda and their lie to place their men in power. I tell you that every election in these United States since the end of World War I has been influenced, and under it the machine was being built up for Mystery Babylon to try to take over these United States. Now, Mystery Babylon is only the symbol of the world beast system, the program of Antichrist, and it is controlled by the merchants of Babylon, who Jesus unveils to John in the book of Revelation, have been these thy merchants that have deceived all the nations, who were guilty of the blood of all the righteous slain from Abel to Zacharias, killed between the horns of the altar in the book of Matthew, and who have been guilty of the blood of all the righteous slain in the 18th chapter of Revelation, when they identify the same evil powers and evil forces. So what do we discover? We discover that according to the text that the powers of Antichrist, the forces of evil, they're the same powers that warred with Jesus. International Jewry runs the Mystery Babylon world economic design and is attempting to capture every Christian nation with it. I don't think we have any problem going back over the history of the House of Rothschild, the House of the Warburgs, the ships, and all the other forces that have been involved in international finance. Nor their design to rule the world, nor their creation by their subsidy of the rise of the revolution and their attempt to use this to accomplish their own ends. The late Rabbi Stephen F. Wise said, some call it communism, I call it Judaism, and we'll accept his word. Now let me point this out to you tonight. That in the midst of these policies of selection, the areas of communication was fast passing to the hands of the enemy, who by the power of their purse gained control of the press. Then the radio was radio developed, and now television. And these areas of communication are in the hands of powerful forces and international banking institutions, and whose policies are being shaped, if not by their ownership, by the control of the advertisers who put up preponderant sums to gain influence this way in the areas of these institutions. Now, I tell you that instead of people having facts to decide with and having been properly advised, they're being given propaganda in order to build up their selection in selecting those that have been placed in areas of prominence and preeminence by the powers of darkness. I'm going to tell you that International Babylon selected Franklin Delano Roosevelt for the candidacy of the President of the United States after having refused in every way to cooperate with Mr. Hoover in any solution to the economic problems of America. I point out to you that this was not only so, but International Babylon created the depression by withdrawing the credit after they had gained the power of manipulation when the Federal Reserve System was created, which was actually a violation of our constitutional position and a violation of the plan for the economy of these United States. I point out to you that having created a depression and then refusing in any way to cooperate with any areas of alleviating it and warring directly against private enterprise and operating areas of chicanery, they then proceeded, my friends, to make a suggested offer of how it would be bypassed. The days when the President of the United States sought to meet these problems, he was always opposed by the strategy of the internationalists. And we will not go over all those issues tonight because we don't have the time. But I want to point out to you that when Franklin Delano Roosevelt was run for President of the United States against Herbert Hoover, that immediately the press and the air were filled with all the promises of what he was going to give you, what he was going to do, how he was going to lift all the problems, and it started out with a beginning of a cradle-to-the-grave program of promises. In fact, it was openly said, we'll just out-promise the enemy, we'll out-promise and out-promise and out-promise, and people will buy these promises. Of course, the conditions created by a shortage of money and by conditions of depression were to unbalance to some extent the proper decisions of a society faced with promises that that were emerging out of the selected man. Why did they select this man? Because this man entered into a bargain with them that they who supported his candidacy and they who selected him would be placed upon his brain trust after he was elected. And you may remember that when he was president-elect, that brain trust came to light when Dr. Wirth, the Indiana doctor, a liberal who bolted from this, talked about how these internationalists, how this group of brain trusters were going into these positions of authority to take over the economy of America, to rule it with virtual dictatorial authority, portfolios packing from the people into the hands of this strange cabal. People laughed at Dr. Wirth, but it wasn't too long before they were to understand that this was true, and the word brain trust was no longer something they laughed at the Indiana doctor about. They knew about it. They knew about Richburg, and they knew about Frankfurter, and they knew about Morgenthau and their influence. They watched some go to the Treasury, and they watched the rise of the Blue Eagle. That, my friends, wasn't the eagle of these United States. That was just a Russian vulture they were introducing in the United States with its gear and its hammer. Well, it wasn't too long before we were to understand how far we were moving into a new direction. You may have remembered that at that time when this control in the areas of the movement of goods and the interference with private enterprise, and we had a Supreme Court in these United States and edicts and decisions and pressure placed upon Congress to bring into effect areas to take away your liberty and freedom, to put it under the hands of those that still guided the world design for world program, world supremacy, a world governed the Antichrist. You know what the Supreme Court said? They said, why, this blue wiggle is illegal. You can't come in and tell stores what they can charge. You can't come in and take over these areas of business. This is unconstitutional. It's un-American. And they threw out the NRA, and they threw out the blue wiggle. Then with the Jewish advisors around him, Mr. Roosevelt said, there's just one thing. I'm going to have to add more men to the court so we get enough men on this court that will decide our way. So all honesty in the areas of judicial affairs passed out with the pressure on this president to pack the court to get the decisions he wanted. I'm going to tell you, you haven't had a Supreme Court that was really American from that day to this. Point out also that in the course of these situations, we watched from one administration to another, from phony wars, from the hysteria involved in world-created crisis, the maintenance of a new first in America, a president elected for a third term. And when elected, was going to keep you out of the areas of problem and danger, and this because of the war situation that was created again. And I tell you tonight, the World War II was created by international jewry, world monetary power, seeking to thrust Christian against Christian, conquer the world, and pick up the pieces. You say, well, of course, we elected the president, not out of intelligent knowledge, nor out of a people properly informed, but out of economic pressures and powers. And I'm going to tell you this, behind the scenes, the selections of candidates were actually being made by the cabal. I was in Chicago with Mr. Comperé during one of the Democratic campaign's conventions at a time when they were trying to start thrusting their civil rights program through, and they wanted to suppress the South and start here to integrate our society where they knew it would be one of the most crucial areas. They were going to make the Negro situation an issue, and they were starting to jam this thing down the throats of the South. And I personally talked with the representatives of a great number of these southern delegations. Some of them we had been in contact with. Mr. Comperé and I had been in with the delegations of Tennessee and of Kentucky and a great number of these states. In fact, these men were going to totally bolt the platform of the party and even bolt the party and walk out of that convention if they sought to interfere with their state rights by trying to place on the platform of that party the processes that were unconstitutional and were against the rights of their states and the maintenance of their way of life. And then the day before these issues were to come upon the floor, Sam Rayburn from Texas, who had served so long in the House of Representatives, now under the control and had been under the control of the Roosevelt cabal, and he'd been under the Truman cabal, and now the pressure was on, and jewelry was moving around with all of its pressure. And I'm going to tell you that a Jewish gangster was running the city of Chicago. In fact, so deadly was this control over this convention that this man in his power was used to intimidate men. Sam Rayburn called in the representatives of the various Democratic organizations and said, "Now, I just want to tell you something. If one of you men get up to bowl out of here or embarrass this party by not accepting this platform that has been selected here, his bloody body is going to be found dead in the alley of this city." Now, this was Sam Rayburn, and there were several reporters who heard it, but they were all coerced by fear. And the only newspaper that had the courage to put in that deadly challenge that Sam Rayburn had made had been the Chicago Tribune in Walter Trohan's column. And one knew that threat of murder and bloodshed and violence was even being used by the Speaker and the House of Representatives under a Democratic administration which was in the control of international Jewry. Let me point out to you that under these incidents, this is only one. We were to watch the decisions not of the representatives of all the areas of the party, but we were to watch pounded out under pressure, under the exchange of economic commitments, under the promise of whether or not projects would or would not be supported to be carried out in other states. The decisions were being made there as to the candidates, as to policy, and so forth. Well, when you get down to the polls, you cast your vote. You say, "Well, we have elected a president." You didn't elect the president in the last election. Oh, you say, "Yes, we elected Mr. Kennedy." Well, there was no doubt that Mr. Kennedy received the presidency, but the facts were known. Was Richard Nixon was cheated out of that election because it was very close, and Texas and Illinois were a piece of crooked politics with locked ballot boxes and people voting whose names were voted after their long death. And the whole pattern was more voters voted than there were even registered in some areas. In fact, if Mr. Nixon had stood up at that time and had challenged that election, though he was being pressured by the party, who said, "Wait, you'll have a better chance next time. Don't make something of this because it'll be a disturbing, untoward situation. We can't have this now. Let's just let it go." My friends, the challenge should have been made then. They should have had the count then. And I point out to you that you think you'll win elections. How about when little haberdasher Harry Truman, that had been one time in the haberdashery business with some Jews that went bankrupt, and then he went into politics, and he was just a clerk in the crooked Pendergast machine, and he was elected first to Congress, to the Senate, by Mr. Pendergast on a bet with another man he gambled with that anybody that he wanted to back would become elected to Congress or to the Senate. He said, "Well, I could take Harry off of there, off of that stool, and I could put him in Congress, and I could make anything out of him I want to." The fellow says, "I just bet you so much money that you can't put Harry in the Congress," and Harry Truman was elected to the Congress of the United States on a bet by the Pendergast machine. The Pendergast machine got him in all right, and they got him from this point on. And you remember that during those periods of time, the actual power behind the scenes were forces of Jewish labor leaders. When the time came that in the history of Mr. Roosevelt's administration, that they decided to dump Wallace. You may remember that at that time that Sidney Hillman was the all-working socialist communist power inside the Democratic machine. And when they wanted to decide who they were going to select, the yes man they decided, who they created and made that they could use, was Harry Truman. And so Roosevelt said, "Well, clear with Sidney. If it's all right with Jew Sidney Hillman, then you can have Harry Truman." And so the convention didn't decide it. It had all been decided by the complex underground. And Harry Truman, from a haberdasher to a little clerk in the Pendergast gang, backed by the kind of politics that put him in, became president.
Let me point out something to you in this same situation. That under one of the experiences of Mr. Truman, and I have the file records in my library, in an election in which the candidates that were involved were supported by the extreme liberals of the gang and the Pendergast machine, and in Kansas City, the votes were going right, and suddenly the whole voting picture changes after great numbers of votes have been rolled up for candidates. And when the final decision and count was made, the extreme liberal had rolled in, and because he had had more votes to begin with than he ended up with, why, they challenged it. And when they went to challenge it, all of the ballot boxes were gone. And then, my friends, realizing there was trouble, Harry Truman flies to Kansas City in order to help juggle the pattern around to make sure they didn't find those boxes. Because in the factors that were involved in the Pendergast machine game and shuttling, why, the boxes never show up, and they were moved out of the place they were stored, and they were confiscated and destroyed, and never, my friends, was their account. We've had a lot of funny things happen all over. In fact, counting machines and the changes in counts also proved you're never sure that you get an honest count when the election does come off. Someone said, don't you think that an election is a way for a people to select their leadership, properly informed? An election's a good way to select leadership, but I want you to know that we've got to have a better way of determining that there's an accurate count and that the people that the public voted for get the proper count. Also, we should have a new area of information across America, and we should know who and why certain candidates have been selected and who's behind them. We should be better informed as to the areas of interest and of investment. You know, if America knew who was backing all the candidates that are being backed and who's putting up the money behind them, they might make another decision in the ballot box as well. All right. But I'm going to tell you that you have reached an unprecedented point in your history. I do not think any branch of the government is continuing to function in its delegated areas. I point out to you that the Supreme Court has invaded time after time the areas of the legislature, that this PAC court has been making more and more decisions that are against the interests of the nation. They have freed all areas of prosecution, virtually, of the Communist Party. They have freed them from responsibility of obeying the law. They have freed them from registering under the Smith Act. They have freed them from the arrest for conspiracy, which normally would have taken place under the areas of law enforcement throughout the United States. More than that, we have watched the areas of the court making decisions that are not in their jurisdiction. They interfered with the areas of education in Arkansas and in Mississippi. They have made decisions since then that affect education all over the country and how it's to be carried out. There is nothing in the Constitution of the United States that delegates to the Supreme Court any area of authority to interfere in education. This is reserved to the states. We point out that the entire racial crisis stirred up by communist, socialist, international Jewry, headed by men like Silvers and Spingarden, who heads the NAACP, and I have here a testimony out of Jewish papers right here that they created this whole Negro Revolution, all of the Civil Rights Fuhrer. They're behind CORE, NAACP, and all these kindred movements. I point out that in the areas of this, that over in the Burma Conference of the United Nations, and the United Nations as a world conspiracy, a program for a super world government that you and nor Declaration of Independence have no right to have any part in, as a great nation of God's kingdom and under divine law, your race is never to join itself to any organization that involves pagan powers and anti-Christian organizations and forces. There is no way for a country like these United States, under its constitution, to surrender its authority to a world government and thus take away the constitutional rights of its citizens. I point out to you that biblical injunction makes it real clear. Don't let anyone tell you that it would ever be Christian for you to remain inside the United Nations, and it would never be sane for you to do this either. Because the African and Asiatic and pagan nations outnumber you 6-1. You never in a world government, now hear this, you will never in a world government be able to decide your own affairs on the basis of elections. The President of the United States talks about the Great New World Program. Talks about the world frontier. He talks about the new order. I think it's a rather interesting thing that in this they have also given a new name to this, the Great Society. Mr. Johnson talked about the Great Society. Don Bell has put together quite a record on this. For instance, the internationally famous Billy Graham, who has become a front from behind the scenes. They have been utilizing Billy Graham to promote the classless Great Society. They have had him bragging about total equality of peoples and about the creation of the Great Society. In fact, shortly after the president talked about the Great Society, we have Billy Graham saying, The great spiritual fulfillment of all human needs is the creation of the great society. And so when he talks about this, why, we see again that he falls for the same line, and in supporting Mr. Johnson's ideals in the creation of the great society, which leaves a faceless people of total equality. The program of God is not thus designed. I would read from one of his statements in which he said concerning this that he had to go along with Drew Pearson in furthering integration, and said he'd done his best to extol the virtues of civil rights, and that now we must therefore do our best to create the great society which will do more to level all men than anything else. But you know what my Bible calls the great society? The beast system of the Antichrist. And the name for it today, United Nations, in its ultimate goal. Now let's take a look at what this does. We are told about election. People think election is the program, but Mr. Johnson, Mr. Stevenson, and others have worked towards the program of total world government, in which a world elite corps handles the affairs of the earth. You say you can vote in that? I question whether you have anything to do with the voting for such an elite corps. I'm going to say this. That if you were to vote on the basis of the vote of each and every man inside of a world organization like the United Nations, the white race, if everybody voted right, could never make one decision concerning its destiny. You'd be outvoted by Africa and Asia every time. And any time you stick your heads in that, you're crazy. This, my friends, is a part of the conspiracy of the powers of darkness. I tell you, if any American ever accepts the edicts or pledges allegiance to the United Nations, he is not only failing his God and his country, but he is surrendering his independence. America should work, and every Christian should work night and day to destroy the United Nations. Do not think that you have a chance under the world program of election because you would be outvoted 6-1. No sense in joining a world situation and finally giving authority to it in this area. As far as your own elections are concerned, again, as people say this is the last chance, I'm going to prove to you that the program of God's kingdom doesn't hinge on chance, it doesn't hinge on the outcomes of the election. The only election that's important to you was an election that God held in his own decision before the foundation of the world when he said of your race that you're my race and I have elected you from the beginning. And so I want to point out something to you in the course of such a design. For in this declaration, the Lord says, "For Jacob my servant's sake, Israel mine elect, I have called thee by thy name, I have surnamed thee." Even before the days of your great destiny, this declaration was made. I can point out also in the continuation of the declaration of the Scripture, the Most High refers to you as my people, elect and precious. I turn over to the book of Matthew and I see Jesus talking about the elect state. I turn to the book of Romans and it talks about we who were elect according to the foreknowledge of God. I turn into the writings of Peter the Apostle, and he therefore talks about those who were elect scattered abroad throughout the various nations, but the elect of God. The only election that you can depend on today after the deterioration of our society is the election of God's will and the selection of a race in the writing of their names down on his Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world of every last man and woman, the white race of the Adamic household. And his purposes for them, he's determined, and he's the one that casts the determining vote. Now listen. The Scripture's talking about your time, talks about the growth of this anti-Christian power, talks about how it would seek to persecute Christians. And even in these climactic days, not, my friends, back in the days of Palestine's upheavals and of the ministry of Christ, but at the end of the age, the sign of the established manifestation of Christ, the time of his coming and return. What's going to be the signs of this? Well, one of the things they're going to do, they're going to still be warning on Christians. He said they're going to try to deliver you up to be afflicted. They're going to try to kill you. You'll be hated by these people for my name's sake. In fact, if you turn over to the Word of God in the book of Luke, he tells you they're going to deliver you to the synagogues and then to the magistrates, then try to put you in prison. They've been doing this to the Russians. They've been doing this inside behind the Iron Curtain. In fact, they've got a plan even in these United States to put ministers and patriots in prison that speak out against world Jewry, against the conspiracy of Antichrist, the world government, and the whole master plan to enslave your society under socialism. Someone said, well, we got a champion. We got a chance this time. Let me tell you something. Don't you think for one moment that the election is going to decide America's destiny. In the first place, everything is being done to accomplish the sealed-up program, the selection of candidates and the backing, the financial shuffling of those they think they can control. All progress has been made in America. The right wing, which are the conservative forces, have been stirred and moved and are strengthening and increasing, and their numbers are greater. And they discovered socialism, communism, the program of the Antichrist, the conspiracy against them. But in all of this, even though they are moving over the hump as to the number of people alerted, they don't have sufficient power over their own parties to have their own way in the decisions that are made in the Senate of the United States. In fact, this very week, one of the most infamous decisions of time was when the Senate of the United States set aside your constitutional rights as a white Christian majority and established a false area of civil rights to be ratified by the House and to be signed by the President. And I tell you that this denies you fundamental rights and privileges that are yours under the Constitution. It invades your privacy. It has one design, amalgamation. I happen to have in my hands the Sammy Gatz's Jewish Voice. This is a California Jewish newspaper. And one of the writers is saying, discussing and offering, however, their personal views as it relates to them. He said that these views concerning the Jewish community, he said, we must understand places quite a muddle even now in the issues of integration and civil rights. So writing to themselves, they said, civil rights and integration are not necessarily the same thing. We all insist upon our rights as a mark of our human distinction. But early in history, races and peoples were not touched by integration, and it would have been possible to keep them that way, but man playing God tried to mix all humanity into a melting pot, even as the present. Now, it's not as simple to solve the problem as some may think. We shy away from close association with people who make themselves objectionable or do not accept the laws of our society or who lack the standards that we require of behavior. Integration for the Jews or between the Jews and Negroes is impossible. Integration means assimilation, and assimilation is not going to happen to the Jews. Now, this is a Jewish newspaper. Secretly, we feel out of place in the midst of strangers. For we are clannish, and our moves are in new fields. We shift the scenery. But objectionable around us are peoples and races that are not our own. After all, when all of our cravings are over, we creep back to our tribal foes that will always exist in one form or another. This is this week's Jewish newspaper. Of course, the Jews have a right to express themselves this way. Integration with the Negroes will never be for them, but they have been the supporting creators of the policy to force this on you. I think it rather significant that in the face of these decisions which have been made, the attempt is to try to establish that there is equality among men and that we are going to guarantee this equality to people that do not have the capacities to fulfill their responsibilities in this area. I might cite to you that never have we had or have we been faced with a situation like we have before us in the next few weeks, especially after the ratification of this bill and the signing by the President of the United States of this bill into law. It's law, but it's truly not constitutional, but you don't have a court that would say so. In fact, discussion has already been created in the areas of legal importance, and the various law associations have identified and marked out the illegality of areas of this so-called past civil rights legislation. The Supreme Court, which has been invading areas of the rights of states and continues to do so, could not be depended upon to uphold the rights of the citizen under the Constitution in this matter. Let me point out that we have had operations that prove this. Having interfered illegally in the areas of the educational field, certain counties, for instance, like Prince Edward County in Virginia, decided that they were not going to tax their people for education. It was against the laws of their state and integrate their schools. So they stopped taxing the people for education and disbanded the public school system, and private school systems were the result. Now the pressure of the international program and the decisions of the court were made, and the court said that Prince Edward County supervisors would have to tax the people, and then they would take these taxes and establish schools, according, the court said, as they had ordered to carry out the integration program. And they could take all the money they needed by taxes to carry out this program. Now, this is not only an invasion of state rights, and it gives the power to the court to order taxing procedures and to support unconstitutional measures, but the Congress of the United States recognized this danger. Congressman Watkins Abbott, who's a man from Virginia, said this decision not only totally tears down the constitutional principle of the separation of the three branches of government, but the court, in one fell swoop, without authority or right, but by naked power alone, has destroyed the constitutional principle of the separation of the legislature and judicial branches. The court has assumed the power to substitute its own decrees for the judgment rendered by a state or a county legislative body elected by the people. This means that an oligarchy of nine men who are now appointed for life have taken over the control of income, the disbursement of it for the entire people, and in effect can force the spending of public funds to carry out this oligarchy's social philosophy, and without any right to do so, save its naked power, has arrogated to itself, without precedent and without any constitutional or statutory authority. By this means, the court is now taking over the operation of schools. It can levy the taxes it follows as night follows day to say how much taxes are to be levied or how many schools are to be operated, how many buses, how many teachers, and so forth. If it can be done in Prince Edward County, it can be done in all counties of America. If they can do this to the legislature of Virginia, they can do it to the legislatures of all America. Then does it not follow that the next step will be the taking over of our congressional power to tax or to spend? This, my friends, by usurpation of authority, not delegated to it in the Constitution, is Supreme Court tyranny. And if Americans were worth their salt in realization, they would rise up and stamp this out by demand. You know, in the last week, again, the Supreme Court's invaded the areas of your rights. They have not only stepped in to try to gerrymander all the United States by their decisions, to place all the power in the cities, which their socialistic program they feel controls better than to take away the representative areas of power from the country areas and from the agricultural, cattle-raising, and mining areas of America, and place the decisions in the hands of the cities, which would always have the majority of representatives. Now, not satisfied with this last week, the court has called on all the legislatures in all of the states to work out a plan in their government to elect their state senators on the basis of the population of their city. That the major population has the most senators, and that the senators are not to be by district, as we have set it up, by county, but by the number of people in the counties. And this is even upsetting the machine in California. In fact, Tack Brown, who's never been known as a conservative, exploded this week and said, the Supreme Court is invading the rights of our state. This, my friends, he said, is an invasion of state rights. Who ever heard Brown worrying about state rights before? And California is one of the great testing states in this because we're so big and we have so many senators from each county and so forth. All right. What I'm pointing out for you is that all the processes the work out of election are breaking down. And your employees are becoming your masters as they answer the beck and call and the insidious design of the powers of darkness from behind the scenes. Anyone that supports communism and protects it, anyone that supports world government over the sovereignty and independence of these United States, is working for the Antichrist and is your enemy. You say, where is their hope? Yes, there's hope. The hope comes because God said he was going to stir up his people. He said, you're the children of my spirit, and we can tell us the son and daughter of God because the spirit is not only within them, but it bears witness with their spirit that they're the children of God. More than this, he said, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon my sons and my daughters in this climactic era. The book of Joel contains this prophecy, and we're going to deliver every last one whose name is written in the book. As I pour out my spirit upon my people, They are going to perceive the situation that's transpiring, and they're going to get angry about it. They're going to seize. Righteous indignation, which we discussed this afternoon, will rise up. And righteousness is coordinating your consciousness with the purposes of God. Everything that emanates out of God is righteous. And righteous anger is against evil and injustice. Injustice must come out of righteousness because it has to proceed forth from rightness in God. So I point out to you tonight that God said, I'm going to stir up my people. Now he said, you're in a tough spot because if you seek to move to regain control of your nation, the internationalists are going to call in the United Nations or create a war or find an excuse to surrender you into their hands in order to preserve peace. All kinds of chicanery are involved in this. The scriptures tell you they'll use this plot. They'll say, peace, peace, when there isn't any peace. And then they'll seek to subordinate you until you couldn't buy nor sell unless you had the mark of the beast or served its program. In fact, the scriptures tell you in the book of Revelations that they make war with the saints. In some places they overcome them, but they're planning on the total conquest of Christian nations, the subordination of all people to slavery. 12th chapter of the book of Revelations tell you they go to make war with the holy people. Yes, you're fighting a war, though you don't call it one as yet, in the Vietnam, Vietcong area and throughout the areas of Asia. You've even been promising the world that you're going to win here if you have to step up your power. And this, of course, would put more power in the hands of the administration to have a genuine war on. But we're not seemingly concerned about stamping communism out in Cuba, which is the responsibility of your representatives, even in support of the Monroe Doctrine, to stamp out this deadly nest of serpents so close to your society. To say how and what is in store. It is not going to get better through elections. Say, why? Well, there isn't time enough for another one after this one if you have this one. You don't know what's going to transpire between now and election time. You might even have an emergency situation in which there might not be an election. You have race violence promised by the Negroes. You have economic upheaval, all of which in the already stated authority that has been placed in the Federal Register by the President was giving power to create martial law. Elections could be postponed. If it so became the whims of the powers from behind the scenes. I point out to you, however, that between now and the period that would comprise the next election, there will be so many things fulfilled in the areas of biblical prophecy and time and history that you're going to be locked in struggle with the powers of darkness. And whether your leaders like it or not, America is going to resist communism and the great hue and cry of this people so against the powers of darkness that America will not be able to extricate itself out of it, and by acquiescence and appeasement, they will not be able to deliver you into communist hands. 12th chapter of Revelation says the beast systems, the powers of world communism, the conspiracies, the world Jewry against your Christian society will be going full blast, and they will be waging war against you, and you will be resisting when Christ returns. I point out that the scripture also indicates very clearly that in the midst of all these patterns of world upheaval, there will be surprise. They'll be battling in the streets of your city. That this will be racial, that this will be also the work of the Antichrist, anti-Christian Jews will also be quite evident. George Washington clearly stated that it would be Negro and Asiatic and a strange new symbol of the red. And that red was communism and showed the prophecy of his vision. They would be battling in your streets. And I'm going to tell you that it was spiritual power and spiritual assistance and courage and vision and the awakening of your society that rolls back the enemy with all the hosts of God coming in. The only election that counts was God's election concerning your destiny. And I tell you tonight that the Bible supports from one end to the other that the internal embodiment of God, the man Christ Jesus, heading the hosts of heaven, is going to re-enter world affairs and fight at your side for a destruction of the powers of darkness, the conquest of their evil. And one Christian said to me, Dr. Swift, don't you think I should get involved at all in any political or educational struggle? Let me tell you something. You're an American citizen, and as a Christian, you should be involved in everything that affects America. You should not only get in to try to clean up the areas of education. You should be heard in your PTA. You should be heard in your local community. You should move into every area of America's political life. You should take a stand for righteousness and truth. You should try to elect Christians. And one of the most important things you as Christians can do is lift up the standard to vote for Christians, only Christians, not part Christians, not any other pattern of race or any other title of religion, but white Christians once and for all. This should be your job. You should be working for this all the time, everywhere. As a Christian, you must occupy until the hour of Christ's return. Someone said this is discriminatory. You well know it's discriminatory. God intended to discriminate, intended for you to discriminate in order to please Him. Just because they have passed a law against discrimination, this discrimination, my friends, cannot affect how you think and how you work and who you work for. It's time that Christians stood together. Since the Scripture has proven that the economy that seeks to destroy you is led by the Antichrist, then it's your job to build a Christian economy that will not be controlled by the Antichrist, and take your money system in America out of the hands of the international bankers and restore it to your own people, and watch the rascals leave America on every boat. No, I don't have hope the election is going to accomplish it, but I'm going to tell you what it has done. While people have been out in the battle of elections trying to do something that they have no control over because it's still settled in smoke-filled rooms and behind the scenes by the forces which are Antichrist, they get a chance to testify. I was thinking of Colonel Gale's campaign, for instance, when he was running for Congress in the primary. During that period of time, thousands of people who heard who they were, what it was all about, and their Christian responsibility. And down, this has happened in Alabama when Admiral Cromwell's been running. It's been happening all over the United States. We got a letter from several people on our tape circuits. Well, they had filed for Congress. This one person said, we may not win, but think of all the people we're going to get to tell the truth to while this goes on. All right. Because under the natural order, in which though you are the majority, the world balance of power makes you a minority. But while you would be a majority controlling the destiny in this nation, free, this nation in the United Nations, and not free, you are not the majority. But this is your responsibility of these nations of God's kingdom, and that's fight to retake the hill, to be God's man on the mountain. God calls the mountains His great nation, His great nations His mountains of prophecy and of history. And I tell you, this is your responsibility. Someone said persecution, imprisonment, all these things will descend on the children of God as they gain more power and more power. My friends, by prayer, by faith, by militant action, by the awakening of Christians, by their utilizing all of their rights, by their arming themselves for their protection, by their getting ready to stand together, instead of persecution and imprisonment, there may come a great and mighty deliverance, God ordained and inspired and stirred across this country. Woe be to the powers of darkness that seek to suppress Christian Americans in this nation. There's more of us than anybody else here. I cite to you that in 1776, it wasn't election that saved you. It was George Washington and your forebears that saved you under God's guidance. I tell you tonight that I call on every one of you not to revolt, but to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the nation and the government that it stands for and is recognized as responsibly connected with it. But I charge each and every one of you as Christians Americans tonight to give no support to any area that violates that Constitution and tries to take away your God-given rank, rights, and then organize a society to mongrelize your race. In fact, in this Jewish article, they said that this program of civil rights is one of forced assimilation, but of course they, the Jews, will never assimilate with the Negroes. But it's for you. It's your duty from now on to take a stand against error and look forward to the day when this kind of legislation will be repealed. Over radio and television, they made the statement yesterday that when this is signed into law, you will no longer be permitted to criticize Jews or Negroes or anybody on the basis of their race, color, creed, or political origin, national origin. Now, I'm going to say this is an infringement of freedom of speech, freedom of worship, and freedom of press. It's not constitutional, and America will continue to bear witness to the truth. And I can assure you that inside the church, that thus saith the Lord will still be proclaimed. We look at this situation and realize that we have to lift up our eyes from whence cometh our deliverance and our strength. The saints of the Most High God will be spiritually energized. They are going to take the kingdom. The hosts of heaven are going to join you. The powers of Michael are going to fight for you as they did in the ancient days of the battle when Lucifer was thrown out of the heavens. And as Lucifer was thrown out of the heavens, his children are going to be thrown out of America. This is biblical, and this is what the scriptures contain. So I tell you tonight, the areas of elections can be fixed. In fact, sometimes before the count's made, they tell you what it's going to be in the newspaper. In fact, they can lose 200 precincts for 24 hours and then finally find their votes. No. You know, these strange things happen. But I can tell you what they can't do. They can't change God's election tablet. The people that he's ordained are going to bring in civilization and his kingdom. Who he said, I am proud to let the world know that you are my sons. And I'm going to tell you how that election goes. He said, that these who constitute the household of the Most High have been elected to sit with him in the seat of authority and rule with him upon his throne in the earth, it says in the book of Revelation. This means the authority of government in the earth is going to pass into the hands of Christians who are identified by their faith and their identity as the household of God, thus by their race in the fulfillment of God's kingdom. You have reached a historic day. I hold in my hands a copy of the headlines of the Los Angeles Examiner from one of the days of this month. We've mentioned it before. We now mention it again. No Bible reading in Florida schools, the High Court said. Now, let's take a look at this. The court of the state of Florida has said that they could have Bible reading, which was the law of their state, and they could have baccalaureate services. But the thing that stands out here is that this newspaper, which is your own Herald Examiner here in the city of Los Angeles, said that certain Miami parents objected to baccalaureate programs because there would be religious preaching and the use of the scriptures. And the members who complained were Jews and agnostics. See this? Now, who should run the state of Florida? The Jews or the agnostics or the great overwhelming number of Christian Americans? Well, the Supreme Court came along and overthrew the position of the state court in behalf of the Jews and the agnostics and forbade baccalaureate services, historical for 2 centuries in these United States, as graduates of our colleges and our schools were given a spiritual charge of moral responsibility and spiritual vision by being had to their attention called to the Word of God and to the great next step in their lives as they made their progression from the school from which they graduated. And now the Supreme Court, at the pressure of world jewelry, can flick its fingers and say, you can't have this anymore. Well, there's been a lot of violations in California because there have been a lot of baccalaureate services this year. But we should have a nation free again to recognize God. We pledge allegiance to these United States under God. Let's, my friends, make sure that we keep it that way and restore this to our people. I think it's quite obvious who Antichrist is. When you see who fights the recognition of your God, and then when we look at these clergy who have been brainwashed to support this, God speaks concerning these people, and he said, these prophets and these ministers who have supported this program and this evil and have supported this wickedness, which is the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah, integration, mongrelization, and depravity. God said, my anger is against them. And he says, the whirlwinds of my judgment shall move upon these, for they have proclaimed iniquity. All right? This is the hour. Major denominations in religious hierarchies have supported the error. Continue to support the surrender of your liberties and independence of this great nation whose leaders were to be of themselves into a program in which your leaders would be of the world. The Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Episcopal Church has called upon the creation of a super world state, one great family, the great new society. And even in the so-called fundamental realms, world's leading evangelist has joined that new society. Jesus said, they said, Lord, 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 Lord. He said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. It's unfortunate for the propaganda of the Antichrist that God has proclaimed in his word in such clear words a call for separation, segregation, and a divine standard. So we tell you tonight, don't be disturbed about the outcome. Don't lose hope. Don't worry about how it will come to pass. Just move in and oppose in every area where you can reach people with truth. Have faith in God. Look for assistance and carry out every objective. Fight for every area of your Christian civilization and be assured you're going to win because you're going to conquer the enemy. You're not going to vote him out. Before you have an opportunity to vote him out, your election may be pitted against the whole world. And under such a world government, you won't have enough votes. But I can promise you this, you'll have enough power. And it will be done with divine power of an empowered household and family. We urge you to tell it. We can assure you that every machination is being designed by the enemy to silence the truth. We've heard that as soon as the civil rights legislation is passed, and even maybe before, in order to stop criticism of this violation of divine law and of the rights of American citizens, their God-given heritage, that they're going to try to take those that challenge it and charge them with sedition or declare they're mentally unbalanced. They're going to try to pick people up and brainwash them, and America should explode if any American, because he stands for truth, disappears. We've had too many disappearances in America. We're not satisfied with the disappearance of the Harrell family and they're representing their great conservative Christian church. We're not satisfied with a lot of things that happened. And we're not trusting the powers that bow and bend to the forces of Antichrist. I'm going to tell you that any attempt to confiscate, arrest, or cause the disappearance of leaders against the forces of darkness should be met with a great and tremendous sign of Christian strength. This is the time that for Christians to close ranks, stand together. If you don't stand now, why, my friends, you'll know great persecution before the climax of these events. Someone says, how much longer? It tells me in my Bible, for the elect's sake, the time is going to be shortened. But it's going to be a busy time. It's not going to have a dull moment. It is going to end victoriously.